It's time for the Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone Show on ESPN 94.7. Call the show now at 330-744-0947. Now, here are your hosts, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone.
And we're coming through on this one because we have a guest, Mr. Sports Ron Fantone. We've moved into afternoon hours. Let's review sports real quick. LSU advances College World Series to the title series. 6-5 wild win over Arkansas yesterday. Coastal Carolina will be their opponent after they dispose of Louisville 11-3. That'll start on Saturday night. LSU and Coastal Carolina at 7 on ESPN. Scrappers Major League Draft League lose 5-1 in a shortened game to 5 innings against State College. NBA Finals tonight's Game 6. All eyes on Ty Halliburton with that strained calf muscle. Will he go or will he not? It's a game time decision. He said he'll do everything in his power to get out there for the Pacers, who host OKC, trying to stave off elimination. 8:30 on ABC. OKC up 3-2 in the best of 7, a 6.5-point favorite. Buss family has sold the majority of ownership for a record $10 billion to Mark Walter for control of the LA Lakers. Browns rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders driving 101 miles per hour to 60 mile per hour zone in Strongsville, 12:24 a.m. early Tuesday morning. NBA draft next week. You can hear that Wednesday and Thursday right here on ESPN 94.7. Guardians 4-2 over the Giants in baseball. They'll play again at San Francisco at 4:05 today. Gavin Williams will pitch for Cleveland. Pirates at Detroit, wiped out by bad weather. They have a doubleheader scheduled today at 1:10 and 5:40 with Andrew Haney going in game one and Paul Skeens in game two. And a sad note, Lou Christie, music icon, gone at age 82. Big songs like Lightning Strikes, Rhapsody in the Rain, Gypsy Cried, I'm Gonna Make You Mine, Two Faces of I, no longer with us. And ironically, I was working on a interview with him. So sad.
Yeah.
Thank you to Bob Popa, earlier guest.
Thank
and now
you, Bob.
I move on to a great friend of mine that I go back a number of years with family through the 1974, I think. CD Chris Davis in the house.
How you doing, John? How you doing? Always a pleasure, my friend.
What is up, my brother? Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm actually in Alabama. I just got back from Atlanta, traveling with work. So, like my company I'm with, I travel as the district manager. So I'm with Compass Group. Actually, we're the number one food, beverage, and hospitality company in the world. Actually, we cover events such as Super Bowls, Kentucky Derbies, ESPY Awards, Grammy Awards, the Olympics. We're at the top of the echelon there.
Wow. So, because I know, Chris, it's kind of hard to keep tabs on it. You keep moving up in life. You were one of the owners down at the West 34 in downtown Youngstown. And so you moved on to a different, did you get out of the bar business entirely?
Actually, I'm still in the bar business, to be honest with you. I'm still in the bar business. I just run it from sometimes you run it from afar.
Uh-huh.
You have the right people in place that kind of help you a little bit as far as there. So, I mean, the restaurant business is kind of, in my jurisdiction of what I do, for work as well. So it kind of limits me to where, hey, I can, and I hate to not, I'm a person I like to be face-to-face with, with customers, but that's the only thing I think that affects me is that I can't be face to face every day with the customer. But I have people there, and then I call them. And when I go home, when I go back to Ohio every few weeks, I go down to the restaurant.
You are one of the biggest cats that I know. I'm talking about in terms of bicep size. You're like NFL bicep size. I actually thought I could lift CD like an inch off the ground. I mean, you were like trying to lift a building, dude. You still working out all the time?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I still try to hit it 4 or 5 days a week. I can't let these young guys think they got the advantage of me.
Ray House, too, sends his love. He was on with us for a live show at JR's Pop a couple of days ago. Has nothing but love for you, brother.
And then what? And that goes back. Ray is an outstanding friend, great guy. Ray's just always, thing I like about Ray is he's always been the same guy ever since I've ever met him. Mm-hmm. I like the guy that he never changed his tune. When he's a friend, he's a friend. And, Ray's a great guy.
A couple things going through your life and everything. You and I had the pleasure to work for Greg Greenwood at Greenwood Chevrolet for a handful of years. And I was telling the story. It's funny. You and I went at it head-to-head 1 year, and you stayed late and got me by like a half a car because you would never give me that top spot. You were so competitive. But, CD, you were one of the best salespeople. And what was extraordinary about it, and people want to get into a different career and everything, Chris will be the first to tell you, I didn't study cars. I wasn't an expert on cars, but I'm an expert on working with people. And that's the difference. It was no longer the hands in the pocket, you know, where somebody didn't trust you. How are you going to screw me over in a car deal? You did all of that, and you were the perennial number one for 5 consecutive years in the time I worked with you at Greenwood because of your people skills.
And, John, thank you, man. You know, and that goes both ways. To be honest, let me set the record straight. The only reason I think I beat you by half a car, just sort of public knows, John would have beat me, but I had an assistant. So let me just tell you guys that John would have beat me, but I had an assistant, just to set the record. He probably would have beat me many months, but I had an assistant.
Yeah, okay. everybody knew. It's like every month, the salesman of the year. You have like 9,000 plaques. You got trophies and everything. It's amazing. I want to talk to you about Austintown and everything. Our buddy Jack Kidd, is having some health issues. He got a lung infection and everything. I know Jack's close to you and everything. But I refer to you two guys as, and maybe Jim Davis to some degree, as the stalwarts of Austintown. The community of Austintown means everything in the world to you, does it not?
Absolutely. You know, the community of Austintown has, like, you know, from, again, since I was young, you know, has embraced me and my family as well. And, you know, and showed us nothing but love. And I have nothing but love and respect for Austintown. He said, the names you said as far as Jim Davis, great friend of mine, Jack Kidd, an amazing guy. You're just talking about a real Austintown historian. I mean, there's nothing he does not know about sports that's happened in Austintown. You know, and I love to sit there and we have breakfast when I'm in town sometimes. And, you know, and I pray for him every day because Jack is, you always want the best for that guy. And he's just a true, and, you know, when he says something, I listen. You know what I mean? So it's like a Yoda teaching a young Skywalker.
And your kids, and you've become, and now you're grandpa, and I watch all the activity, and you're such a good family man, and everything like that. You got a beautiful wife, Kim. I got to know who does hair. Is Kim still doing hair in the area?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. She's still doing hair in the area. She takes care of the businesses up that way for me, along with my sons and my daughter. We as a family, we always pull together, and it just. I'm blessed. I'm gonna say that, John. I'm blessed that I'm able to have the family that I have, that and the support factor that I have, because it's tough being gone from home and missing some of your grandkids' things. I just missed their birthdays, and my little granddaughter graduated from preschool, going to kindergarten. You know, to miss those type of things, you know, I guess you can't get them back. But you know, I guess they say old money has to start somewhere, and sometimes Papa got to go get it.
Are you traveling a lot with this new job, CD?
Yeah, well, you know what? My district is actually the Alabama, Atlanta, Florida, and then I have the Washington, Baltimore, Virginia area. Those are my areas. So what I do is sometimes I go to different accounts, and I just make sure the accounts are, everything's running up to speed. You know, you talk with the client. Like, we have a lot of, like in Alabama, we have the Hyundai plant.
Okay.
Which, you know, and just like General Motors, they have the Hyundai plant.
Right.
And they have another one in Savannah, Georgia, another Kia Hyundai plant. So, you know, I make sure the clients are happy with all of our service that we have, that we provide the food and beverage and everything for. Like, you know, you figure you have, you know, at Hyundai, you have 5,000 employees, you know, and you have to feed and you know, service those people, you know, every day. You know, and they're 6 days a week, you know, 24 hours operation. Just like I deal with, you know, General Motors and Ford and, you know, and so on.
I still say if Austintown had a mayoral race and CD ran, he would win it in a landslide. You know it, too. You know it, too. You know, Kat, you know everybody. Everybody is like, CD's like, you're my dude, you're my dude. Everybody's his dude, first of all. And he's just nothing but love. He's a big old teddy bear. Yeah. And one of the biggest cats, and honestly, I told you, we go back to the 70s. I got to tell you a funny story. We're at the upstairs restaurant, and Chris is a big hawking guy. I happened to be in there with CD one day, right? And this guy, foreign guy, looks staring at me, bullets through me across the bar. And he goes, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. But I was looking at the girl that was next to him. Only
because I recognized her. Mm-hmm. I thought I did. It's like, how do I know her? It's one of those things, like, yep. you look at it, like, how do I know her? Then I'd look back, and she would look at me, but then he would look at me, and it got uncomfortable. Finally, he gets up, he walks over to me, and he goes, I got to ask you a question. He goes, you step outside with me. And I go outside, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is not going to be good. And remember, Chris is in the bar, right?
Yes.
So he goes, why is it you stare at my wife? What is it you stare at my wife? How you know her? I'm like, I don't know her. I said, but listen, come here. I want you to do me a favor. Come on back in over here. And I said, sit down over here. I said, this is my best friend. His name's Chris Davis. And he took a look at Chris's biceps and his monster of a man. Yeah. He goes, how you doing, Mr. Davis? Nice to see you. He's a good guy. It's my wife. I didn't mean anything bad about him. So me and Chris laughed about it afterward. He goes, you played the Chris Davis card,
yeah,
didn't you?
That's right.
That's an absolutely true story. Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, that was the best. I said, wait, I didn't know it was that serious. I said, oh, man, I'm going to have to that's with my man, John. John is my guy. I mean, our families go back way too far. To let that happen, you know?
His brother, Antoine, played on my dad's very first football team in 1974 when he started the Liberty Little Leopards, yeah. which, ironically, they had a tribute for. It was 50 years ago. Father's Day just passed, and I knew your dad back in 1974 when I first got to meet him. Your dad was everything to you, and it was a great friend of my father and everything. But, CD, when you lose your father like that, who you were close to, it's tough when Father's Day rolls around, isn't it?
Oh, man. It's heartbreaking because, you know, you're never, you know they're there watching over you, but you just not to be able to embrace and have that conversation. Because, you know, as you get older, you realize, you know, when we're younger, we think we know everything. We realize that, you know, our fathers, oh, that's just my dad talking. Then you realize as you get older, wow, my dad was a genius. You know, this is a mm-hmm. man that had a third grade education that knew it all. And he would always tell me, Chris, just live long enough, you'll understand. You'll learn, right? Living is learning. And I would take his words, and, you know, it's funny because I repeat everything he says to this day to my children because he installed those cultures in my head of, you know, what it takes to be, you know, a father and to be a man, you know. And, I we lost a great one when my dad passed. And, I learned a lot from him.
And not a big guy. You know, because you and Antoine, your brother, are like huge and not a big guy. And so where'd the size come from?
And we, you know, actually, you know what? Between my mom and dad, like my uncles or my dad's brothers were all pretty nice size. They were bigger guys as well. And then, you know, my mom had, you know, honestly, I think it's a genetic thing. You know, my dad was, even, you know, but to be honest with you, John, as big as we were and all the muscles we had, me and my brother Antoine, all of my brothers, we were petrified of our father. Like, you know, petrified. I mean, you know, I mean, so, I mean, that was a, you know, he, one thing we have for him is the utmost respect.
Absolutely.
We were scared. I remember he would always tell me, I'm not worried about those muscles. I'll shoot you with all those muscles. I'd be like, Dad, my mom would be like, don't say that. But we knew that he wasn't going to just let us jump on him. Like, he wasn't that type of father, you know. No. Uh-uh. My dad was a serious man. Uh-uh.
Those were different times back then. I think about, you know, my dad was like a football coach and everything. So he would take out frustrations on me, I swear. I mean, I got the belt CD. I got a bat sent after me. I remember being on the ground, I'm being kicked in the face. I'm not kidding you. I got it all, man. But I had respect for him, you know? He made a man out of me.
You have to.
Sure, I was battered, but... That's the way it was. That's the way it was. We liked it.
Better child.
All us kids were gladiators. You know that. You know what? Back in those days, we were able to accept the word no. If you see a lot of times in this day and age,
yeah.
a lot of kids can't accept the word no. Like, you know, no, you're not allowed. When you say no, you're not allowed to do that. You know, they want to debate. Well, tell me why and explain. Just when our parents said no, that was the,
that was
end,
the end of it.
There
yeah.
was nothing to talk about. Right? It was just no.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got
Chris Davis. We're going to ask him about what it was like recruiting his two sons, Demetrius and Chris Jr., who were recruited by every college in the country. And Chris kind of spearheaded this from a father's viewpoint and trying to protect his sons. And that was a difficult challenge. Plus, we're going to talk to Chris about his own Fitch days, including a most memorable run against a great high school football team when we return right here on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone. Hey, we're talking to Chris Davis. We're talking about our Greenwood car sale days and everything. And Chris, I remember him telling me, he goes, slow down, JB, slow down. Because yeah. Every car that you would write, you put your name up on the board. And I watched him. He didn't take any ups. And what ups were is like fresh customers coming in and looking for salesmen, which he had every right to be entitled to because we were splitting shifts. See, he didn't have to do that. They came in for him. It was just like a natural, like a carousel of people.
You know, John, and the same thing with you, John. You know, it's because you're a people person, man, and you just, they love you. The people love you. You know what I mean? And so that's what it was about. It wasn't, I used to always say, I'm not a car salesman. I just happen to sell cars.
Wow. I like that. I like that.
You know, because a car salesman, you know, when they say you're a car salesman, they say you're at a -4. You have to get to a zero. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get to a zero. You're not even at, you're at a -4. You have to get to a zero just to earn someone's trust. I want to get past all that right now. Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants to know, what's the best price you can give me for a vehicle?
Absolutely. It is, no matter what. You know, you could show the value of the vehicle. We were taught that, you know, learn the vehicle inside and out and everything. And was it Verdi? I had to watch all those tapes and everything.
Yeah, we all did.
And you did. And he had all these methods and techniques to get people to buy cars. And I'm like, my God, I would never do some of that stuff.
No.
One of them was... And I hope they're not listening, because one of them was, if it all else fails, use the sympathy thing on him. Well, I was one sale away from, sending my daughter off to college. So I swear to God, that was one of his techniques.
Grandmother's heart operation.
I was like, are you kidding me? I would never use that.
I'm not going to sell my soul for no car sale. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to sell my soul for a car sale. You know, but you know what, John? That's the difference between a car salesman and someone that happens to sell cars.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. CD, I've got to ask you about this. This is interesting. So your sons are two of the best players in recent memory to come out of Austintown Fitch High School. The twin boys, great kids. I've had an opportunity to get to know them over the years. Your son Chris and your son Demetrius. And suddenly, as a father, you're trying to oversee all this, and all these recruitment offers from these major schools are coming after your boys. How tough was that on you, brother?
You know what? Honestly, that was extremely tough. To really elaborate, I don't think people realize, like, when you have twins and you hope that are both, you know, extremely talented. I mean, you know, I thought I was talented, but I think they were even another level, I think. But, I don't tell them that. But, you know, But it's something that was tough, because you're saying, okay, how do I get recruitment? I get all these letters coming in. But thank God that a lot of the schools recruited both of them together, because I let it be known from the start they were not going to separate schools.
It was a package deal. Yep.
It was a package deal. Because, you know, I wasn't going to have me and my wife flying to one side of the country and the other one flies to the other side of the country so we could watch our kids play. So it was going to be, they'd done it since they were 5 years old together, and I was going to continue to let them do it until it was not available. But that was tough. And it was because, you know, you got to work through all the, you know, coaches are going to tell your kids the same thing they're going to tell 10,000 other kids, you know, that you're the best thing since sliced bread, that you, you know. And these kids, unfortunately, they're cattle, right? And it's a new set of cattle that come in every year. And then with the coaches and college coaches, they bounce around. They're here one day, and they're at another school the next year. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it just was something I had to really focus. Like, so whenever they talk to a coach, they put them on speakerphone. I was part of that conversation. I wanted to know everything that was being said to my kids, because I know the process.
And so, like, these letters are coming in from, I'm talking major schools, because that's how good your boys were. And you find yourself sitting and talking some coaching legends, right, CD?
Oh, man, you know, from Coach Russell to Rich Rodriguez to
West Virginia.
Chip Kelly, You know, they flew in and had home visits with me. At that time, you got to remember, Chip Kelly just was coming off national championships with the Oregon Ducks.
Yep.
You know, and they wanted my boys so bad. And, I mean, you know, where they had, you know, DeAnthony Thomas came out on the visit with them. So, you know, it was a miraculous time for the boys, because it was something, you know. And my wife, it was funny, you know, speaking of Kim, she would just, you know, let the coaches come in and they would get their spiel. And I would always tell my wife, hey, listen, honey, don't really say nothing. Just, you know, what did you think? Because you know my wife, is, you know, she'll just say whatever comes to her mind.
Oh, Kimmy, yes.
You know, yeah, you know how Kimmy is. She'll just say whatever comes to her. And so, you know, and Chip Kelly's sitting there and he gives me this whole spiel of why he wants him to come to Oregon. We're going to take care of your babies, this and that. So my wife, we're eating dinner. And my wife says out of clear blue, well, Coach, we appreciate you coming out here, but there's no way I'm going to let my kids fly all the way. I'm not flying to Oregon every day for a day. I said, wow. Honey, we could have just let them get back on the plane, and then we could have maybe said that, right?
Oh, my gosh, that is too funny.
Oh, man. So, you know, they fly into Vienna Airport. We pick them up from the airport on a private plane. We drive them to the house. But just, you know, that's just one of many stories that, you know, on that situation. But, you know, my boys were very, they were very, you know, I tell them it's double H. We stayed humble and hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was something that, actually, you know, I always want to say, and it's not in a, you know, a blessed way, not a bragging way. The twins were two of the, Mr. McGlynn, and Mr. McGlynn had did their homework on this, and I didn't know this. They were two of the highest recruited kids in this area, our area's history. They had over $3.8 million worth of scholarship money apiece.
Wow.
That was not, I mean, that's, you know, and no disrespect to Billy Price or Will Mahone or Braylon Herr. Let's talk about Ursuline Mooney. We're talking Maurice Correct. You know, I mean, from as far as financial dollars, as far as scholarships, you know, they had over 37 Division I offers.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when you were talking to your sons during this recruiting process and everything, and they had to be like, because they're young kids, CD, and they're looking around, it's like, Dad, what should we do? What should we do? I mean, maybe you're seeing it one way, maybe they're seeing things another way. Were you guys in accordance together, all three of you?
And we were. And you know, the funny thing, to share this with everybody, is that, you know, to my sons, you know, it doesn't matter if they ran 5-6 touchdowns. All they cared about was who was going to win the next Xbox game. Because to them, this was just football. It's just football. It wasn't, to this day, they don't even, they're like me. They don't even like to kind of rehash or go down memory lane. Because to them, it's just football. And it's just, and I think that's what they didn't understand. Like, you know, we would walk around Walmart, the store, or the mall, and kids would walk up to them wanting their autographs. And my sons, what they didn't know is they were so shy. Unlike myself or my daughter, my sons were like Kim. They were, my wife, they were extremely shy. And so they would not engage with, I said, you know, I kept telling my sons, hey, Dad, it's a thin line between cocky and, you know what I mean, and confident, you know what I mean? So when they think you're shy, they don't know that you're shy. They think, wow, he just kept walking away from me. I said, man, you know, stop talking to the kids, entertain with them. They would want to take a picture of them. I knew my sons, that there was a time, to share this quick story, it was Halloween, and the kids go around trick-or-treating. So these little kids, these two little twins, and they dressed up as my sons. They
played
for the Austintown Little Falcons. And they were number 2 and 22. They dressed up as the twins for. So I'm looking at this little dress. You know, is it a coincidence of it? So, and they had Davis on the back of their jersey, right?
Oh my gosh!
So I said, you know, so I mean, these kids are, you know, trick or treat. So I said, hey, you guys. And so the little kids, I remember them saying, and the twins were upstairs, I think, playing Xbox at the time. They said, I said, what are you guys at Halloween? They said, we're the Davis twins. We came as Christopher and Demetrius Davis. So I said,
wow.
And I said, wow. So I told the twins, I said, you know what? You have you ever met the twins? He said, no. I said, well, you know, so my wife says, you know, they live here. You know, those are my sons. And so the parents are like, you know, oh, my, are you serious? And so I bring the twins downstairs to meet these kids and to take a picture. And I think I said it, I said, wow, guys, you understand kids can wear anything they wanted for Halloween, but they chose to dress up as you guys.
So oh, my God. That's an amazing story.
Story there, man, you know.
We've got Chris Davis on with us. We got Chris. We got about 3 minutes before we take a break. I'm gonna keep you on if you don't care, though.
No, I know
you're busy. But one of the things I want to ask you about, and by the way, go to YouTube. You could see what I'm talking about and why these kids were recruited. They're highlights from Fitch High School. Demetrius Davis and Chris Davis are still up there. Ron, I'm telling you, your mouth's going to fall open. How good these kids were. They were, it was like 1 against 11. I swear to God, in both cases. But the boys transferred a couple of times. You're talking, which presents an issue all in itself. And, you know, head coaching changes take place. And that's not the guy that you signed up with. And so you have to make another decision there as a father.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, that's the toughest part of it, because you commit to something, and you may commit to a coaching staff or a coaching style, right? And that may fit what you do. So just to give you an example, when the twins end up choosing Pitt, I think it was because they want to stay closer to their mothers, because they are mama's boys. So and then Todd Graham had just got the contract, and we were on official visit, and he said it would take a Brinks truck to get him to leave. You think about it, he had a 5-year contract.
Right.
He knew at the end of the day, he would be there the whole time. The twins would be there throughout their college career. Their offense fit what we did. You know, Pitt was going to go with the, you know, the five wide, the spread offense. And then we were being recruited at the same time by Wisconsin. But Wisconsin was running back, fullback, two tight ends. It wasn't. And then so Paul Chris, and so long story short, Todd Graham left to Arizona State. Paul Chris, you know, comes in with a whole different style. And they're already, and at that time, they didn't have that rule where if the coach changed, the rule changed that next year, you can leave a D1 school for another D1 school.
Wow.
So that's what transferred. So when we did transfer to go to Kentucky, then those credits from Pitt, there's so much I want to tell so many parents. I'm an open book. If you ever want to talk about that, any parent out there that got their kids going through school, please give me a call so I can give you the real uncut version of what you need to look for and what you need to avoid.
So it went from the transition went from Pitt to Kentucky to West Virginia?
Yes, to West Virginia.
Wow. And, you know,
it's because Kentucky, being a research college, they would not consider the Pitt credit to roll over. So the twins would have had to sit out 2 years to play football in Kentucky. So then that's why we transferred to West Virginia, because those credits would roll over immediately. So it looked like we were bouncing schools, but what people didn't know is what was going on behind the scenes.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And yes, and these colleges, I mean, it's not, you know, it's tough, man, you know. And I can especially believe with these NILs and everything going on, it probably has to be even that much tougher now.
It has definitely changed. Chris Davis, hang on for us. You're in Atlanta or you're in Bama right now, right?
Yes, sir. I'm in Bama.
Okay. He's bouncing all over the South. We've got Chris Davis, CD, on the phone with us. When we return, it is a Thursday afternoon, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone. More after this. Yeah, we are back on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, talking to a longtime friend of mine. Goes back to 1974 with the Davis family. Played football for Antoine for my dad, Liberty Little Leopards, incorporation of that football program, which celebrated, ironically, 50-year anniversary a year ago. I went to Liberty High School and did a tribute to my father on Channel 21, so that's exciting. We have Chris Davis on, who has become just a great friend of mine. Over the years, and Chris and I talking about our time in the car sales business, we got a chance to work at Greenwood Chevrolet together. Chris, I personally do not miss the car sales business. I did have great memories over there and everything. It's a stressful business. It is. It's very stressful. I would assume, and I watched you run around like a chicken with your head cut off, that you would probably echo those sentiments.
You know, John, you took the words right. You hit the nail on the head. If I could say anything to the people so they could understand, that business, you think that, I mean, you are tortured. You know, I guess Jordan said they always counted how many game-winning shots he made, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't count the game-winning shots that he missed. for example, you like myself, selling 30 plus cars a month, right?
Yeah.
We probably sat down in front of 60-something, 70 people, though.
Mm-hmm.
There lies a difference. So if you you didn't land all those people, but you gave all that time to all of those people. And I think, we get discredited as far as, oh, he's just a car salesman. He's trying to run games. So let me go to the next dealership and the next dealership and the next dealership. But, if you don't sell that vehicle, what you kill is what you eat, right?
Right.
And that's how we made our money. And I think people never really value what goes into the work or the mindset. I've sat down in front of 15, 20 people in one day and not sold one car. From a mental standpoint, how does that make you feel? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All day, every day. And you lived it, John. So, but I think the car salesmen get a tough break of what they really go through in life.
I agree with that. I want to share a very amusing story. And again, Chris had more people passing in and out of there, and it's like, and even if he wasn't working directly with them, he knew them. Oftentimes, somebody will be working up a deal at another salesman's desk, and they want to say hi to Chris. I saw it a million times happen. But one day, Chris is doing a deal with a current customer, and he's waiting on another family to come in, all right? And I'm sitting by this other salesman who intercepted the second family that Chris is expecting to come in, all right? And he's working a deal with him. Chris comes over, he goes, hey, Chris, it looks like you're busy or whatever. So this gentleman picked us up. Chris goes, and the salesman looked at him. He knew he was guilty. He was trying to steal the customers off Chris. And he goes, don't worry, I got him taken care of. I'm working a deal with him. And Chris goes, you ain't working nothing. I've been waiting on it. I said, come on over here. And Chris ended up selling him a car, but this guy was going to take his customers off of him. I'm not going to mention names. You know who I'm talking about.
And 100%.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe I was. And he was so embarrassed that you caught him. He thought he would sneak in a sale and you wouldn't know about it.
That is such a dirty business. I mean, I would say, wow, like, man, I'm thinking of I guess it's a dog-eat-dog world in that business, because it's just, it's brutal, man. You're thinking, because if something goes wrong and that person doesn't feel a certain way and they feel like, okay, they came there to see Chris or John and they were mistreated, how do you build that relationship back up? Because you got to remember, it's a relationship thing. As far as I had to think, okay, the same people that who were upset trying to make a car deal, how would they come to my restaurants and eat if I upset them in some type of way? How do you build that relationship?
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, he thought he was telling the people that he was doing Chris a favor because Chris was too busy. And they bought it, where in reality, he was trying to do himself a favor and get the sale. You mentioned you're still in the bar business from afar at West 34. How's the bar going?
Oh, it's going good. We went through a lot of hiccups as far as down when the building floated down there. Up a lot of the stuff. Stuff going on downtown Youngstown. It's tough because, that's the one. I talked with Byrne, the owner of B2, we're really good friends, and Byrne would say, Chris, our biggest issue is not having a parking lot.
Okay.
If you look at Station Square, Michael Alberini's, at the time, the upstairs lounge, there's a lot of legends in the restaurant business that I picked a lot of ears. Tim Hubert and what he's done with the Apollo downtown. So many, amazing guys that kind of, I'm going to say Chucky Alberini,
yeah.
You talk about a legend. I mean, he spirit-guided me through, Chris, dudes and the dudes and the don'ts. And I watched those guys just work a room. They would work a room, and so I think I learned a lot from them. But the business has been a little, it's up and down. It's up and down. A lot of guys, Mark Canzanetta, a lot of companies that are down there, they just, the foot traffic is tough with the construction going on.
The bar business, we've talked to Jeff Richards a lot behind the scenes at JR's, but it might look like you're making boatloads of money. And it always seems like, too, when you renovate, and you guys did so much renovation, there's so much money being poured into it. Everybody likes to applaud and clap. But, man, when you need to support them to come down there, they're nowhere to be found. Nope. They'll clap from the sidelines, man.
Oh,
but the investment is through the roof, dude.
Oh, man. It's, you know, and like you said, you'll see a place and you'll see that place jam-packed. But what you don't think is, okay, what did it cost to buy that food? What? How much did I spend on liquor? You know, you're selling something for the moment. You have to remember when someone comes in, they pick up a table and they may be there for 3 or 4 hours. You know, they bought their food, but that table is not turning over. You know, and you can't rush somebody out. Hey, you ate, time for you to go. But it's not that type of business. So you are, it's a tight business. It really, the restaurant bar business is really a tight business. And I commend anybody that's in it because it is a monster.
It is. You were a monster on the football field. A number of years ago, a video surfaced. Chris Davis playing Cleveland St. Ignatius and takes a handoff early in the game. Wildcats, the vaunted Wildcats, Chuck Kyle. Cleveland St. Ignatius, they're going to kill Fitch. And CD takes the ball right up the middle and outraced the entire defense in the end zone. Spurred Fitch to a grand upside victory. Jack Kidd, bless his heart, loves to tell the story up in his. And he goes, so I'm sitting there. And this is how Jack talks. You know Jack.
Yeah, I do.
So I'm sitting there with all these college scouts, Johnny. And they're looking at all the kids from Cleveland St. Ignatius. He goes, and do you know, after Chris Davis got done running the ball a few times, they turned to me and it's like, never mind the kids from Cleveland. Who's this Chris Davis?
Just, great
they
story.
They start going after you, man.
That's a great story.
Yeah. That's how that happened. And John and Mr. Kidd, you know, when Jack tells his story, he is the best with it. He knows, and you know, he'll remember things. Mm-hmm. Johnny, you know this. He'll remember things that most people will normally forget. He'll remember a play, an actual down, what down and distance it was. And I'm like, wow, how does he have this memory stuff? And you remember, he would tell me, you know, against East, you had 288 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he's thinking, wow, and I forgot that, but he'll remember it. He'll know it. Now, he's just he's a legend. He's a legend he's deserving of anything, he gets as far as the Hall of Fame nod, as far as, because he's a real pioneer of Austin.
But he was there, and after that big run you had against Ignatius, which was extraordinary, up at Baldwin Wallace.
How is Jack doing?
Yeah.
Chris, one thing I want to ask you about, do you still follow Fitch football? T.J. Parker's been there for a while now. Yes. He's had a nice run up there.
Oh, T.J.'s had a great run. You know what, T.J. T.J.'s the type of coach, he's this type of era coach as far as, T.J. understands the swag that these kids want. He understands, you know what it takes to try to build a great program. You know, and I support, T.J. 100% on what, it's the unfortunate is that when you have a great year, then you end up, God forbid you have one bad year after so many years, then, they want to, kind of crucify you. But you know what? I support T.J. and everything he's done for the Fitch program. And it's been great. You know, I mean, T.J., I knew T.J. since when he was a younger man. Just T.J. is just a stand-up kind of guy.
And we have a couple minutes left?
Yes.
I got about 2 minutes, Chris. One thing I have to ask you about, and it's going to be to Fantone chagrin. Who's your favorite NFL football team?
The Baltimore Ravens.
There you go. Wow.
The Baltimore Ravens.
You are connected with the Ravens. You've been on the sideline. You've been in the game. I mean, how'd this association come about? Are you good friends with Ray Lewis and all those cats?
I've met Ray. I've met Ed Reed. And actually, Stassi Brown is now, he's the guy up there in Baltimore. And actually, he was with Cleveland
he was.
Years and years back. Mm-hmm. And he was, in the PR, as a PR guy, he just really was, I speak with, and actually our company feeds the Baltimore Ravens, the team, the ownership, the center. So I actually go to all the meals, and I go into the stadium, and not just the stadium, but into the players' locker rooms and things like that.
Wow.
So,
Chris, yeah. I swear you could suit up and look every bit like one of those cats, man. I'm telling you. Ozzie Newsome should come for you.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Man. The man, yep. Eric DeCosta, those boys, yeah. They're great, great team. I love them.
Hey, real quick, I want to ask you, upcoming NFL season, Lamar Jackson got that label on his back, can't win the big one. Is it? Yeah, I thought last year was your year, man. Andrews dropped that pass, but are the Ravens ever going to get over the hump?
This is their year. I thought last year and the year before, but this is their year. I think that bitterness never goes away, and Lamar's such a competitor, man, and he's going, and I think just signing Jair Alexander was a great pickup from as a defensive back. I don't know if you've seen that yesterday.
Saw that. Yeah,
I saw that.
Oh, that's huge, man. You know, so I mean, I think we just have the right pieces. You know, DeAndre Hopkins resurge, and I think who he is. I know he's a little bit older, but hey, I think that team is ready.
And finally, before I let you go, do you think Shedeur Sanders, he got a little hiccup here for speeding, but do you think that Shedeur Sanders is ultimately going to be the answer quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Are they going to look at another franchise guy next year?
You know what? You would like to think, you know, I think he's a stud, to be honest. I think he can be. I think it's just, you know, getting yourself grounded, standing is, you know, staying humble. I guess like it's gotten a little situation. No, you don't want one to two. You've got to grow up. I think you just have to just grow up right now. We understand he's a young rookie, but you got to grow up now because you've learned from the best with Deion being. So there's really no excuse. That might be his, you know, growing up with a silver spoon may be tough for him, but I think he may be good for Cleveland.
CD, I can't thank you enough.
Chris, thank you, Chris. Davis. Thank you, buddy.
Live from Bama with the man traveling south, Chris Davis.
Thank you, and Ron. Thank you and Ron for everything.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
I really appreciate you guys having some time to have me on. And, you know, whatever I could do for you, or, you know, even for sponsorship, even with my company, please let me know.
Please take advantage
really?
Of that.
Really?
Yes. Please take advantage of it. I don't have a problem with that at all. You know?
Chris, we would welcome your sponsorship.
Yes.
That's okay. Actually exactly how I get paid here.
That is.
So I appreciate it. Okay. I love you, my brother.
Thank you, Chris, so much, man.
Take care.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Davis, Austin Town legend. We're going to take a break. Ron's giving me that sign.
Nah.
We're coming back. Final moments. We're going to sing the oldies real quick for our part to Music Man. Boy, that was great with Chris.
That was. I loved it.
After this on ESPN 94.7.
You are now.
I switched. We're back. I'm on mic number two.
All right.
We have Bart the Music Man. We have to get this in for him. Boy, so nice talking. You love Bart. It's the greatest hit to the Drifters today. I didn't want to do Lou Christie injustice because, you know, out of respect. All right. 1964, Under the Boardwalk.
Wow.
And one. And two.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, oh yeah, on a blanket with my baby is where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk. All right. Save the last dance for me.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Where you can dance, every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and whose arms you're gonna be. So, Fantone, save the last dance for me.
Quit touching me.
All right, one more time. Up on the roof, okay, 64. Ready? A one, a two. Wait. A three.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come,
nice. That was pretty good. I'm telling you, Bart, you happy? Here are the Drifters. I feel like a sense of movement here, advancement. We're getting closer and closer to. Peppermint Productions giving us a phone call. Carl Bloom coming in, and Carl can't get enough. You didn't know when you brought us aboard that you would get the immense singing ability that we've brought along with us.
No, had no idea whatsoever.
It's a bonus, Carl. A bonus. I'm telling you. Look at you. You've got it all. You've got the total package here.
You really do.
Yep.
To his credit.
Yes.
Carl Bloom's credit.
Yep.
He's the guy responsible for bringing local radio back to this area. Really. You really are. You're the guy who brought local radio back And you went out and you got the two best local radio guys you could get.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with that statement.
And it's fun. And
yeah.
And honestly,
2 minutes.
Yeah, okay. NBA Finals is going to be heard right here, right,
yes.
tonight?
Yep.
So if you can't watch it, Game 6 tonight, 8:30, Indiana hosting OKC. ABC has it on TV, but we have it right here on radio.
Yep, it'll be here on ESPN 94.7. Also, we'll have the NBA draft next week, too.
I did see that, and I did announce that. That's Wednesday and Thursday of next week,
yes,
I think.
And then we have some NASCAR both Saturday and
in
Sunday.
In Poconos for NASCAR?
Yep, they're in the Poconos, and then Saturday night baseball for sure. Sunday night baseball or Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It just depends on if...
And that NASCAR radio on Sunday, I want to say it's on Prime. A lot of people don't have Prime,
yeah,
so listen to it right here on ESPN 94.7.
A lot of people are listening to the NASCAR races, which actually surprised me. I didn't realize how popular that was until I put those on.
We talked to Jeff Fritsch. He goes, wow, you got NASCAR on the radio. That's pretty cool.
I'll tell you, NASCAR fans are going to love it. I mean, really, they love that kind of stuff.
Yep. All right, absolutely. Big Boss Man, how much time we got?
We got 1 minute.
1 minute.
All right, well, if you're looking for the Bob Popa interview, it is now on our website.
Wow.
ESPN947.com.
And Chris Davis about to come up, too, I assume.
I want to thank Bob and Chris for being part of our show.
Weren't they fun?
Absolutely.
Just great stories.
It really was.
And then tomorrow we'll have Carmen Wright on from Rusted Lullaby. He's playing a big benefit at JR's on Saturday night. Funny Farm's going to be by early with Dave Robich and company at 10:30. And then the story of the Adams family history in music. Kenny, Mike, and Frank Adams. And we'll talk about the Great Pretenders.
It's not Mortician.
And all this. No, it isn't. And Mike's with Common Ground. Kenny's out with Jen Cancio, our fiddle player.
Oh, absolutely.
Leather and Lace. That's just great stuff. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow to kick off a weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.
We'll see you soon. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, I just got to get the last word in.
I got to get it.